Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of M&A Research and Strategy. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. It's Friday, October 30th, 2020, and this week we're discussing the challenges that emerging market governments are grappling with. So what are the core challenges emerging market governments face as they navigate through their recovery plans, Essan?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, in the first 3 months of the pandemic, governments were in crisis mode, really, often forming emergency fiscal policy responses from their own homes as part of the work from home reality that we all faced. Now, what we are observing is a gradual resumption of normal activity. And as governments look at how they can claw back growth, we must believe that they are taking long-term policy decisions and securing funding to get their countries back on track. Now, that is a bit of a tall order. Deficits are continuing to widen because of shrinking economic activity and measures taken to shore up economies against the impact of COVID-19. And even after the pandemic abates, it will likely take years for governments to normalize public finances and unwind the elevated debt stock. And moreover, unemployment will probably continue to be an issue for the years to come as economies adapt to changing industry patterns. Adding to this, of course, is the continued subdued external demand, reduced export receipts. We've got lower commodity prices and lower remittance inflows over a prolonged period of time. And many governments also have to defend their sovereign credit ratings at a time when investors are feeling a lot of apprehension. Indeed, the IMF estimates that more than $100 billion in capital, in foreign capital, was withdrawn from emerging markets in the early phase of the pandemic. And while there has been some recovery, which has been encouraging, it has been quite uneven and will likely stay that way as investors form their views on which countries will recover the fastest and which ones will lag. Now, understandably, countries who have entered the crisis with questions around the sustainability of their public finances or with high external vulnerabilities have been the ones most affected by the investor pullback that we've seen. Now, in terms of the areas of attention that emerging markets could focus on to help foster robust economic growth, well, governments are weighing a confluence of priorities at the current juncture. Of course, front of mind has been healthcare, which was a critical starting point for public spending at the outset of the crisis, as the inadequacies of healthcare supplies and infrastructure to address the pandemic became quite clear in some countries. Immediately afterwards, there was a bit of a scramble to put together supplementary budgets in place to address the shock. But these rapid-fire decisions also point to one of the most forward-looking investments that emerging market governments can now make, that is to refocus their emphasis on building out their country's infrastructure. Now, indeed, infrastructure gaps and deficits can put the brakes on economic growth. For example, an economy's ability to grow is constrained by how many trucks, for example, can travel down the highway or say how many ships can enter a port on any given day. And there are the other focus areas too, for example, in education and training. China here has set a very positive example here in terms of earmarking the special purpose bond receipts for spending on projects with enduring benefits. So a lot going that emerging market policymakers can do.
And where does ESG fit in the emerging market recovery strategy, Essan?
Yes, I know. So this is a very important area, and ESG factors are going increasingly mainstream in the emerging market space, which can be used to drive out performance. And they are increasingly integrated into investors' financial analysis on a day-to-day basis. And we see COVID-19 as really an accelerant in this context. And this is because ESG criteria per se will help ensure that countries don't focus on a quick economic bounce back, invest in a much better sustainable recovery, maintaining long-term reform agendas. And for us, the virus has in effect amalgamated three key paramount areas of focus. So that is sustainable economic growth, the solid return for investors, and critically, ESG objectives. And whilst we would say that we're still in the early infancy of the development of this space, investors are becoming increasingly receptive to ESG and financing structures, such as the likes of, say, green bonds, green loans, and evergreen deposits. Indeed, there is a realization that meeting ESG requirements can generate both financial returns on the one hand, as well as long-term benefits for all other parties on the other. And this could be seen through reducing energy costs or commanding higher rental payments in real estate, for example, or using lower cost, easier to maintain nature-based solutions. And in turn, growing investor interest has increased appetite for emerging market governments to develop their ESG agendas to attract capital. Case in point here, it's interesting, is Egypt recently became the first MENA sovereign to issue a very successful green bond that was heavily oversubscribed, which has opened up a new avenue for sovereigns in the region to diversify their sources of funding. And one core challenge is that green bonds do not have a universally accepted definition, but broadly entail bonds that would be utilized for environmental and climate-oriented projects. But encouragingly, there are broad standards in place, such as the likes of the Climate Bonds Initiative or the EU taxonomy for sustainable activities that issuers must adhere to. So broadly speaking, ESG is holding a lot of potential, and we expect to see significant growth in the future in this area.
And finally, Ehsan, what are the options available at the policy level as emerging markets head into 2021?
So, Una, this is the question that has been really at the forefront of investors' minds right now, and that is, when it comes to the assessment of emerging markets, what can we expect in 2021? Now, taking a step back, favorable global liquidity has allowed emerging markets to replicate a lot of what's happened in developed markets. Extremely loose, for example, monetary and fiscal policies, which have bolstered asset prices and should support economic growth. However, of course, this comes at a cost of wider fiscal deficits and, of course, higher borrowing levels. So whilst we are hopeful for more promising developments as we go into 2021, we would caution here that markets should not be complacent and lower their guard for several reasons. First, the scope of conventional monetary policy, that is, namely interest rate cuts, has narrowed materially following the more aggressive easing cycle in emerging market history, really. And there has been tightening in emerging market financial conditions in the third quarter, despite lower rates, as yield curves have steepened aggressively on the back of deteriorating fiscal accounts. Looking ahead, we would say that it would be much harder for emerging market central banks to ease financial conditions through orthodox policies, signaling that the policy of choice may switch further into unconventional monetary policy territory, such as the likes of QE monetary operations mirroring those that we've seen in developed markets in recent years. Second, if emerging markets choose a path of unconventional policies, then the result could be continued pressure on emerging market FX. And third, the risk premium could rise. Here, when we compare the current COVID-19 environment to the great financial crisis of 2008-2009, unlike back then, when the fix was emphasized on monetary policy and liquidity, this time it's the fiscal policy that is front and center, and it's considerable loosening. And that will deteriorate fiscal accounts materially in the years ahead. And emerging markets will need to improve the risk premium to garner a lot of capital inflows. So all told, governments are left with some pressing decisions to make in the coming months ahead. First, fiscal consolidation, such as in Saudi Arabia, for example, and or monetary tightening, such as in the likes of Turkey, which could both strengthen capital flows as well as prevent currencies from weakening further. And second, the continuation of loose fiscal policies and accommodation via unconventional monetary policy, banking for a growth rebound and mild inflationary levels. So much to look forward to in the months ahead in the emerging market space.
Thanks very much for that insight, Ehsan. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una.
Thank you for listening to this Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets research team.